The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, the March and April 2020 edition. On the cover of this edition is Taraji P. Henson, and we'll try to get to her story today, I promise. But first, we're going to start off with trending topics that we're talking about. And these are going to be 10 things that we're actually talking about. Here's the latest news you should know. So number one, Super Tuesday explained for residents in 14 states and one territory and Democrats living abroad. Super Tuesday is an opportunity to weigh in on who should be the 2020 Democratic nominee for the office of the presidency. While pre-Super Tuesday primaries in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina usually receive the bulk of the candidates' attention, March the 3rd, 2020 is likely to be, or by this time it's actually has passed, it would likely to be the real election game changer. So on this day, it is expected that the largest number of primary voters, more than one-third of the U.S. population, will head to the polls. So the candidate who scores the greatest number of votes is favored to become the eventual nominee. And by the time you hear this, we've already, you know, pretty much found out or who is, you know, the potential to become the eventual nominee. So number two is diversifying art. So Black curators are rare, but representation within the art world is slowly gaining ground. So last fall, the Solomon R. Guggenheim, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, Museum in New York City appointed Ashley James an Associate Curator of Contemporary Art. So this makes her the first full-time Black curator in the museum's 60-year history. Number three, working to end HIV. Organizations in the South seeking to combat the HIV epidemic are receiving some much-needed financial aid. Gilead Sciences has awarded $2.3 million to 40 groups working within the field, many of which are led by and are focused on African Americans. Number four, hair-raising findings. So a study in the International Journal of Cancer is giving Black women cause for concern. According to the December 2019 report, those who regularly use chemical straighteners and permanent hair dyes are at an increased risk for breast cancer. The report showed Black women who dye their hair have a 45% higher chance of developing the potentially fatal disease compared with a 7% higher chance for white women. Number five, the future of HBCUs. So in 2019, the Senate passed a bipartisan amendment to the Future Act, which grants $255 million in annual mandatory federal funding to HBCUs and other institutions that serve minorities. The legislation also simplifies FAFSA and streamlines college loan repayment for nearly 8 million borrowers. Number six, Black is beautiful. May every little girl who witnessed this moment forever believe in the power of her dreams, and may they see their faces reflected in mine. I am hashtag Miss Universe 2019. And that was coming from Zozabini Tunzi. She's following her crowning as Miss Universe. Number seven, justice for Black women. Black Women's Roundtable, also known as BWR, is crossing the country for an initiative that is dubbed the BWR Racial, Economic, Health, Gender, and Reproductive Justice Project. The campaign will take BWR to 10 states where it will engage with us and address the ways in which biases and how they are currently affecting our lives. Number eight, New Age Birth Control. Officials at the Indian Council of Medical Research conducted and concluded clinical testing for an injectable contraceptive for men. The drug is expected to be available to consumers in India this year. Number nine, What about the children? Caribbean children are seeing the devastating effects of climate change. A UNICEF report titled Children Uprooted in the Caribbean. How stronger hurricanes linked to a changing climate are driving child displacement found that between 2014 and 2018, the number of children's home disturbances due to these climate-driven natural disasters rose by nearly 600,000. And number 10, another chance. At the helm of retail giant Walmart's first black-owned barbershop is 40-year-old Sean Lucky Corbett, who went from being incarcerated to running a successful business. The owner of Lucky Spot hopes to soon expand his outfit to other U.S. locations. On to another article that we're talking about is Black Girl Campaign Magic. So in this election, a number of sisters are the key members of the Black Trust behind several presidential bids. It's 8 a.m. on a Saturday, but sleep can wait. Nina Turner has a flight to catch as the lead national co-chair for Bernie 2020. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, traveling across the country, is all in a day's work. We'll be on the road for about 9 days. The Carolinas, California, and Iowa, says Turner, the highest ranking black woman on the team. I'll be going to political events, managing staff, doing debate prep, and lending my skills wherever they are needed. Despite a grueling schedule that means time away from home and family, the wife and mother is committed to supporting her candidate. Moreover, she feels duty bound to uphold America's democratic process. Everything we love is on the line, the former Ohio state senator says of the November elections. I'm on a justice journey. In 2020 election cycle, more women than ever before have assumed leadership positions, many of them black. We have been tapped for some of the most critical roles, from campaign manager to campaign chairs, to political directors, to senior advisors, and more. In fact, among the crop of hopefuls in the Democratic primary field, many of the candidates have entrusted us with high-level jobs, both out front and behind the scenes. Senator Sanders, former Vice President Joe Biden, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg have all hired black women whose responsibilities are significant. According to an expert, the number of black women involved in presidential campaigns this go-around is unprecedented. White women have been organizing around candidates for decades, notes Andra Gillespie, Ph.D., Associate Professor of Political Science at Emory University. What has happened in the past 16 years is greater intentionally on the part of black people who are embedded in political circles. This has created new networks and opportunities for black women. While groups such as the Collective Political Action Committee, which created the Black Campaign School, and the women-focused Emily's List are helping to prepare a more diverse cadre of candidates and political operatives, experts say campaign leaders are groomed in a variety of ways. Folks may have degrees in politics or government, and frequently they're also lawyers, notes David C. Barker, Ph.D., director of the Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies at American University. Many begin working on campaigns as students or interns and then work their way up. In this way, networks are built. Being on a campaign is like being part of a community. It also helps that both Democrats and Republicans have both become more attuned to the power of black women voters and understand that we need to be informing their campaigns at top levels. The Kamala effect, or Kamala factor. When U.S. Senator Kamala Harris became just the third black woman to compete for a major party presidential nomination. The former California Attorney General enlisted her younger sister, Maya Harris, a civil rights lawyer, to serve as her campaign chair. Maya had previously been one of three senior policy advisors on Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign. After kicking off her bid in Oakland, Senator Harris developed nationwide momentum and support before the campaign, citing financial woes, suspended its operation in December. "I believe our campaign showed every child in America, regardless of their color or gender, that there are no limits to who can lead and hold positions of power in our country," Harris said at the time. "In that way, this campaign has been so much bigger than me." Although the senator exited the field before the first primary votes were cast, some believe that her candidacy inspired voters and insiders alike to reimagine what is possible for the presidency. As she told audiences on the trail, "I have faith in the American people to know that we will never be burdened by the assumptions of who can do what based on who historically has done it." Harris is only the latest in generations of Black women who have shattered political barriers and helped carve out a path for younger talent to pick up the baton. Shirley Chisholm, using the slogan "Unbought and Unbossed," became the first African-American candidate to campaign for the 1972 Democratic Party presidential nomination. She was later followed by Carol Moseley Braun, who was the first Black woman elected to the U.S. Senate and served from 1993 to 1999. She made a run for the Democratic nomination for president in 2000 and 2004. Yet it was Donna Brazile who became the first African-American woman to head a majority or a major party presidential campaign. For many Americans, seeing a confident Black woman standing alongside former Vice President Al Gore as he sought the presidency in 2000 was a revelation. Years later, Margaret Maggie Williams managed Hillary Rodham Clinton's first presidential bid. Along the way, Brazile, Yolanda Caraway, Leah Daughtry, and many more, who've dubbed themselves the colored girls, have lent their talents to the presidential campaign of Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, former Vice President Walter Mondale, and Governor Michael Dukakis, in an election cycle where Democratic women made historic gains across all levels of office. Black women were key players in that success, observes Glenda C. Carr, a co-founder with Kimberly Pillar Allen of Higher Heights for America, a national organization that works to harness the political power of Black women from the voting booth to elected office. The 2020 election will provide another opportunity for Black women to close the gap between their representation in the population and their power. Ahead of this pivotal election, we caught up with some of the Black women wielding influence at senior levels on presidential campaigns. While some of the candidates have since left the race, including New Jersey Senator Cory Booker and Texas politician Julian Castro, these Black women all expressed pride in claiming a seat at the table. In Castro's camp, Mayor Rupert was just the third Black woman to oversee a major presidential campaign. While Tamia Booker served as national political director and Christina Coleman worked as millennial influencer, engagement director for Cory Booker's team. "I'm inspired by how he leads with empathy and humanity," Coleman, a former Essence editor, says. "He's really about the people." On Elizabeth Warren's team, Rebecca Percy is the national political director and Tracy Lewis is senior advisor for states and organizing. About 8 years ago, Lewis was invited to Warren's home to discuss the candidate's then budding endeavor to win a seat in the U.S. Senate. We talked about her lifelong efforts to understand and fight for economic power and fairness for families, Lewis recalls, and we talked about the type of campaign she wanted to build, a grassroots one that was inclusive, diverse, and committed to empowering women and people of color across the organization. We also talked about social justice and our mutual hope to be active participants in our democracy. After that meeting, Lewis became the deputy campaign manager for Warren's winning Senate bid. Today, she's one of multiple Black women in leadership roles as the Massachusetts lawmaker runs to become president. Lewis, the owner of TL Strategies, LLC, a grassroots consulting firm, has 20 years of electoral grassroots advocacy and project management know-how. She handled special projects at two national Democratic conventions and served as Hillary Clinton's national primary states director. I help oversee the broader programming in the states and organizing programs across the nomination map, explains Lewis, who believes Black women should vote for Warren in 2020 because the senator understands big structural change is necessary in America. Warren has offered multiple plans, which include creating safe and affordable housing, tackling redlining, addressing the maternal mortality crisis, and confronting discrimination and all forms of injustice. But what further defines the candidate, notes Lewis, is her compassion. While I was my dad's caregiver during the last year of his life, I faced the heartbreaking task of trying to navigate a broken healthcare system, she remembers. Elizabeth reached out to me with kindness, empathy, and support. My dad was a former chef who died at the age of 68. Like many Black men, leaving us too soon, he had volunteered for Elizabeth in 2012 and hoped she or he would live to see a change in the White House. Simone Sanders, senior advisor for Biden 2020, is all about that change. She says the first time she sat down with the former vice president, the conversation unfolded as if they were old friends. We were supposed to meet for 30 minutes and it turned into 2 hours, she says. That's the way he is. Very personable and warm, and he genuinely listens. Sanders is a seasoned political strategist who worked on the Bernie Sanders campaign in the 2016 cycle. While she doesn't disparage her former boss, she feels that Biden is the best person to move the United States forward this time around. He's experienced and will be ready to do the job from day one, says the former CNN political commentator. She points out that Biden's campaign has released multiple plans that range from investing in the middle class to backing collective bargaining for workers to ensuring that military families have what they need. Also covered are education, health care, immigration reform, strategies to end gun violence and violence against women, ways to secure older and rural Americans and student debt relief. Sanders, who formerly chaired the Coalition for Juvenile Justice's Emerging Leaders Committee, says Biden shares her compassion for raising the profile of young voices in the fight for juvenile justice reform. We want to bring our new perspectives to policy conversations. Sanders may be the highest ranking Black woman on the Biden roster, but it also includes National Trips Director Ashley Williams, National Political Director Aaron Wilson, Sharice Perry, who was Jill Biden's Communications Director, and Director of Human Resources Dalmara Caesar. Former U.S. Senator Carol Moseley Braun is a campaign surrogate. The Biden team is proud of its diversity and top talent, says Kumar Marshall, its Director of Strategic Communications. The African American women on the campaign play a critical role in our success, she adds. Biden made sure the campaign reflected the diversity of the country he is running to lead. What you see in his staff is what you see in his diverse coalition of support from voters across the United States. Nina Smith, the traveling press secretary for Pete Buttigieg, understands that the way a candidate communicates is at the heart of reaching voters. She coordinates on-the-ground interviews, candidate briefings, and more. Before joining the Pete for America campaign, Smith was managing partner at Megaphone Strategies, a social justice public relations firm that has worked with Stacey Abrams, Deb Haaland, and organizers with Black Lives Matter. Roughly 40% of our campaign staff are people of color, and 50% are women, she says, of Buttigieg's campaign, and 28% of our staff are members of the LGBTQ community. Besides pushing bread and butter issues such as paid family leave and raising the minimum wage, Smith is proud of Pete's agenda for our community. The Douglas Plan for Black America was developed in tandem with advisor Portia Allen Kyle, a Black civil rights attorney, activists, and community leaders. The 18-page proposal focuses on five pillars: home ownership, entrepreneurship, education, health and justice, voter suppression, environmental justice and racial disparities, and medical treatment are tackled. He has made addressing systematic racism a priority, says Smith. I hope Black women will consider voting for him. He is the candidate ready to bring our country together. Elsewhere on the trail, Renee Spellman, deputy campaign manager for Senator Sanders, believes he's the man to change the America going forward. Spellman began her career in politics as a youth vote director on the 2008 Obama presidential campaign. After being a part of history, she's excited to have a hand in the second Bernie Sanders run. Spellman, whose late cousin was the civil rights and NAACP leader Julian Bond, wants to create positive social change, and she's grateful to work for a progressive candidate advocating for Medicare for all, free college, the Green New Deal, and support for historically Black colleges and universities. An alumni of Bernie 2016, Spellman served as the campaign's national director of traveling press and media logistics during the primary season before becoming national director of surrogates during the convention. Spellman was previously at Creative Artists Agency, where she harnessed Hollywood star power for philanthropy and advocacy. This time around, she looks up to other Black women in senior roles in Bernie's 2020 campaign, including National Press Secretary Brianna Joy Gray, Chief of People and States Operations Rikama Glimp, South Carolina State Director Jessica Bright, and of course, former Ohio State Senator and National Co-Chair Nina Turner. Our community has had enough of politicians who say one thing in public, but then go off to cut compromise deals with the special interests behind closed doors, all while the people who know and love are suffering, says Turner. We can do so much better as a country and under a Sanders administration. We will prioritize the issues that matter to Black America. And again, this article was titled Black Girl Campaign, and we were able to cover some of the Black women that are representing some of the politicians that are currently voting or currently on the campaign trail to become the Democratic nominee. So on to our next article, Unbossed, Can't Knock Her Hustle. So Mona Scott Young, she changed the reality TV game, but make no mistake, she's always been a boss. Mona Scott Young has been in black entertainment for 2 decades through Violator, the music management company she co-founded with business partner Chris Lighty. She became an instrumental force behind artists like Missy Elliott, 50 Cent, and LL Cool J. For the past decade, the CEO has captivated an even broader audience as the creator of the reality TV Love & Hip Hop and its many spinoffs. This year marks the 10th season of the original show in the franchise, Love & Hip Hop New York. Here, the mogul opens up about her love of supersized reality and financial empowerment. What was the inspiration behind Violator? Mona's response is, Chris Lighty and I built it to be the premier urban management company. We saw hip-hop appropriated in every medium and every form to sell every product, and artists weren't being compensated or positioned properly. We became the guardians, the shepherds. What kind of television did you watch as a kid? My family lived in Puerto Rico for a bit, and because we didn't have an antenna, which would have allowed us to view English television, I was forced to watch Spanish television all day long. There was no bigger drama than Latin American soap operas. I was raised on them. They told these stories that were larger than life in that way. That's what Love & Hip Hop is at its core. It's rooted and in the real stuff, but we supersized it. The Love & Hip Hop franchise celebrates its decade-long run this year. How does that make you feel? That's a testament to the staying power of the show. And it looks like, actually, let me stop here. We run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, and you have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.